Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello and welcome to Tuesday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. My name is Craig Phil and I must start with an apology. We were originally meant to have this show online on Monday, but two varied but very important problems came up that meant we couldn't record on the Monday evening, so we had to push it back 24 hours, so we apologise for that. But at the same time, we're not talking about the weekend's action because really who cares, other than a lot of pissed up Dundee United fans, about their team's result. And so, therefore, we're just going to move on to the next of our top 12 series, which now is the top 12 wingers in the Scottish Premiership right now. Joining me today is Tony Anderson.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Tony. And we're going to be counting down our number 12 all the way through to our number 1. Right, so without any further ado, Tony, who's your number 12?
I have Dundee's finest, Paul McMullen. Actually, no. You know what? I've changed my mind already there. I'm going to have the Jam Tarts, Josh Ginnelly.
Okay, fair enough. I've got McMullen, but I don't have Josh Ginnelly. So we'll talk about him first.
Okay, I mean, he's the world's most frustrating. He's the most frustrating player on this list, I would say, in terms of talent and output. He's one of those players kind of similar to someone who might come up further in this list of what Alan Forrest maybe was like a year or two ago before he had what arguably his sort of breakthrough season this season. And Ginnelly has sort of pace to burn. He gets into a lot of crossing position. His dribbling stats are really quite good. He's even got 5 goals under his belt, which, based on the minutes he's played, is actually decent, but it's just, he gets himself into these great positions all the time. His crossing is one of the weakest on the list, and out of all the players, really, that we were looking at, like, his percentages for like, cross completion, and the same for shots. He hits a lot of shots, and he rarely, really hits a target, so it's just a ridiculously frustrating player, but on the be-all and end-all, with the sort of weaknesses on the long list that you would find, I still thought there was sort of good room for Josh Ginnelly on here. Yeah, he only hits 28% of his shots on target, 10% goal conversion.
I think his crossing ability is somewhere around about 20% as well, which is really bad.
Yeah, yeah, that really stood out when I was looking at. I'll have it right here in about 1 second. I'm literally looking at him now. Yeah, and his crosses per 90, he's putting in 4.23. So it's relatively, that's decent, but it's 22%.
22, that's not any good for a winger.
It's really bad. And then I say these dribbling's good, successful dribbling when you're purely going into stats, nearly 10 dribbles per 90 and 55% success rate. But when he gets to that end bit, it's just frustration.
Incredibly, despite the fact he's got such a terrible crossing accuracy, he's still only 9th of all players in the Scottish, of all wingers in the Scottish top flight this season, which shows you that a lot of wingers this campaign have been quite rubbish. Ginelli is... I really considered having Ginelli. The reason why I ultimately didn't go for him was because I'll often go against picking a Celtic or Rangers player if I don't feel like they've really played necessarily that well for their team. So I think that Ginelli's held to a higher standard because he's a Hearts player, especially a Hearts team that's finished third. And he's not been able to hold down a place all season. So I wanted to go with my naturally kind of generous approach to this list and kind of spread the love around other teams as opposed to going for there's one Hearts player I've got on my list as opposed to going for a second Hearts player that I'm not even that much, you know, in love with anyway. What I would also say about Ginelli, I think if you took him for Hearts and you put him on a Livingston or a Motherwell or something like that, I think he would be a much more appreciated player and probably stand out more and be just appreciated more by Scottish top flight fans in general, because he'd kind of concentrate more on his highlights and he wouldn't get punished for the games where he doesn't really do much by getting dropped out of the team. But also, I kind of think he's a bit of a flat-track bully. And that he was electric. He didn't play much last season due to injury problems, but he was electric in the games that he did play. And
There was high expectations of Ginelli.
Because one of those games was the Scottish Cup final against Celtic, where he was very good off the bench. But other than that, I can't really... try to think this season, I can't remember like a good game he's had against Celtic, Rangers, Hibs. Like, the bigger teams, he seems to not really do too much. I know he's actually done quite well in a couple of games against Dundee United, but in the really kind of big, high-pressure games, he's not kind of shown up. And so, again, that maybe suits him if he goes to, a Motherwell or something. Somebody who's just at the kind of level low at heart, so I think he probably would have a good career there and would, in that way, get on my list. So it's maybe a bit unfair that I held him off, but I don't like him enough to be like, let me justify the second Hearts player.
Well, fair enough, I've got two Hearts players and you've only got one.
There you go.
That just shows the two of us always try to make it look like we're not biased. That's
yeah, wait to hear my four Hibs players.
That's not even possible. That's of course, even if you want to. it's not possible.
That's of course a lie. Right. Your number 12 is Josh Neneman's. Number 12 is Paul McMullen. Somebody who I think had a better season than a lot of us might have expected. He'd done very well with Dundee last year, but he'd left Dundee United after really kind of failing to break into their side. He'd never really done it at the top flight level before. He started the campaign on fire, really. He was Dundee's best player for the first month to 6 weeks or so. Cooled off since then, but still been one of their better performers throughout the campaign. Somebody who's just quite old-fashioned, kind of the last two guys, but even McMullen, the way he runs just looks quite old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. At least Ginelli kind of runs with his head up and he's kind of gliding a bit more, whereas McMullen is properly head down, let's run as fast as we can from point A to point B, and then I'll stick my head up and see where I am at this point. And he's somebody who is can get into the a not bad pass of the ball as well in the final third. Doesn't necessarily have to just do it with his crosses, which to be fair isn't that great anyway, but can feed through balls, and it's just somebody that's kind of very good at running in defenders. Both of these last players are, and I do think that's something that even if you aren't the best in terms of your final ball, a winger who makes a fullback have to really kind of think about his job and just to make them nervous, because then that could collapse a whole defence. I think that's a good skill to have, and McMullen has it.
I've got McMullen one place higher, in 11th. And like you said, a throwback winger. I mean, in a team that lacks, it's not that they've not got any legs anywhere in the park. In the centre midfield, they do have players with legs, but they really lack drive, Dundee. And I really thought they had something going on when they had McCowan and McMullen playing in the wings, but that sort of, they sort of chopped and changed the system. They obviously got rid of the manager.
I think McCowan's performances fell off a bit.
Off a cliff, yeah, in fairness. But McMullen also, he's good at intercepting. His defensive stats are really good. That's something, because you don't watch these players every week, the sort of that side of the game is something when I'm looking at the stats, I've looked at it for quite a few of them. So McMullen's was really impressive. Over three interceptions per 90. He's got high winning of defensive duels, over 50%. I think that's all pretty good for. But obviously, he is under more. He's done a lot more defensive work than a lot of other players. But yeah, he's got drive. His dribbling skills are really good. And like you say, he's a throwback winger. And we've got so many different names for wide players now and so many different jobs that sometimes having one in there who just does the winger job is fun.
Right, it's my number 11. I've got Vicente Bazouyan.
Bazouyan.
Bazouyan. Bazouyan. Vicente Bazouyan. Bazouyan. Let's call the whole thing off. from Aberdeen. He just came into Aberdeen in the January transfer window, but and he's played for an Aberdeen team that's been pretty much dogshite the entire time he's been there. But he is somebody that impressed me. They've got him on a long-term deal. I think that's going to prove to be a definitely a wise bit of business once, especially once Aberdeen actually get a bit better and can put better players around them, because this is a wide man who can also play up top. He is a goal threat. He likes to cross the ball, and he's very good at crossing the ball as well. Certainly a lot better than a lot of the guys on this list. And he's not particularly great at beating a man, but he's good at kind of taking the ball from A to B as well, and just kind of moving the team up the pitch. I like the quickness that he shows. And, yeah, he's somebody, like I just say, I think he's more one for the future, but he's somebody that's talents have kind of stood out to me, and I've been impressed on him, even if his team have continued to be rubbish.
Yeah, I've not got Bazawin. Bazawin's what I'm going for.
Bazawin, cool. Aye.
That's what I'm going for. I can't believe out of all the people on this podcast, you would listen to the pronunciation and go, cool, after it's me.
Still better than me.
I make it up as I go along frequently. I am like sort of Pat Bonner and all that. And one part of that lets me down, I would say, is my pronunciation of people's names. I didn't bother. There's a small sample size. I have been pretty impressed with him. I think he's deceptively quite strong. He seems to go back for more when I watch him. Like, he takes a few kicks because he's tricky. And you said he's not that great going past people, but he always wants to. He is direct. And I think when he has a better team around him, you will see Bazawin. And I've no doubt that we'll see him on the list next season if I'm doing it. But I just thought for this season, it's a small sample size. And he's still not been... Normally for a small sample size, I want them to be really, really good. And I don't think he's quite done that. Although I would agree he's probably in the top 12 wingers in terms of ability in the Scottish Premiership.
Fair enough. Who do you have at number 10?
This is quite tough because I've got James Forrest in the list and I had him quite low simply because...
I've got him at 10.
Good, because I've got... And I also just thought it was a laugh that his brother was going to be higher than him.
So he's just bursted into his bedroom. As they've got bunk beds. He's bursted into the room. Ha, have you listened to this?
Who the fuck are those guys? James Forrest, he's still played quite a lot this season. I've got it here. He's still played quite a lot this season. I think he's played 32 matches. I mean, that'll be in all competitions, but he's still been involved for Celtic. He scored a really key goal in the semi-final against St Johnstone to get them to the cup final against Hibs. He's still got 5 goals and 4 assists. I mean, we don't really need to go into real detail about James Forrest. Nobody that'll be listening to this who doesn't know what James Forrest is good at and what he's not. He still deserves his place in this top 12. He still gets into the box and he's still... I always find he's quite composed. And I don't think previously when he was younger I had that. But now I always feel like when he gets in the box he's quite calm.
Yeah, kind of started around about the start of the Brendan Rodgers era is when he really kind of developed both a final ball in terms of his crossing and in terms of finishing ability as well. But he used to regularly score over 10 goals a season.
And because it's like he slows down more now when he gets in the box. Like you were talking about Paul McMullen and head down and running. That was James Forrest at a higher level. But that's what brought him on, is sometimes stopping and not doing anything or slowing your movement down when you've got the ball will bring better results. And he's still absolutely one of the top 12 wingers in Scottish football.
And he's probably better than number 10 as well, if we're really being serious.
Wales better.
Right, like if we're looking at this list, I would say he probably deserves to be 6th on my list overall, maybe 5th. But yeah, I've got about 10 just because he's like Celtic fans are kind of like think that James Forrest is pretty much done for them. And that might be the case, although it's pretty wild to give him a 3-year deal, which really was... I mean, fair enough for Celtic for kind of taking care of their players, but football's usually a kind of cutthroat business where you don't usually get a kind of the lifetime achievement. Oh, here you go, here's another fat contract unless you took up like a big pay cut to be like a squad regular. That seems a little bit unlikely as well. He's still a very good player. He's just not really the calibre of the Celtic teammates that he's got around him at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, the two wingers that we're both going to have extremely high up are streets ahead of James Forrest now. But if he's willing to take a reduced role, maybe not by salary, but a reduced role in the squad, those players are hard to come by. And they're normally going to be, if you're Celtic, Scottish players who love the club.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just thinking, this. He'll stay happy. He'll stay for 3 years. Maybe they're saying long term, it's maybe a good idea.
And who knows? Maybe they just work something out with him so he can be like a one club man, because he's 30 already. He's going to turn 31 before the start of next season. So when he finishes up this contract, he's going to be 34. And that's around about the age where it's either you retire or you're going to have to go down the lower leagues, because you're a winger who, yes, as we've said, he developed an ability to tuck away a chance or deliver a good final ball over the course of his career, but it's still probably not at the level. He still really relies on pace an awful lot. So once he gets to 34, he's not going to be quite the same player, and he's either, you know, going to have to play for Kilmarnock or just go, that's me.
I know some players love football, right? And that's great to see. But I'd find it hard when you've won so much. If you're James Forrest, won, honestly, ridiculous amounts of stuff in Scottish football, and then going, at 34, we'll play for fucking Kilmarnock. And how can you be arsed?
Chris Burke done it.
Yeah, but he hadn't won so much in Scottish football. Yeah, he'd went down south. There was still like... So he, I would understand, because James Forrest might be changing.
Scott Brown went to Aberdeen.
Yeah, yeah, and look how that worked out. He retired halfway through the season. He could be fucked.
Hearts retired him.
Yeah, now he's doing it at Fleetwood with Stephen Whittaker. That's going to go wrong, by the way, just as an aside.
Right, okay, so let's get on to your number nine then.
My number nine, right. Oof. So yeah, I always have the lesson. I just doubt myself all the time, Craig. So let's go back. Let's see. It was going to be... Am I going to be Hungbo or am I going to be Chris Cadden, Craig? I'm going to go Hungbo, because I'm not being biased. I like Chris Cadden and I'm doing it. So
I have Hungbo one place higher than number eight.
Yeah, fair enough. Hungbo, I think it was Ewan that was on the podcast, and he said that he thinks he's going to have a higher ceiling than Regan Charles Cook, who I'm assuming is going to be higher on both our lists, but he's really skillful, he's really direct, he's really strong, he's really powerful, all those cliches get from a wide player. His numbers stand up all right. He's got 7 goals, 3 of them are penalties, but 4 goals and 3 assists as a young player settling at Scotland, when it took that team he was playing for half a season to really start getting anywhere. And he's very good in front of goal. He hits the target a lot. Yes. 40% of his shots hit the target. He hits it with pace as well, his shots. It's not like... He doesn't always have to place them, which you'd always think with people who've got high target hitting, you think it's because they play shots a lot. Hungbo can hit it. And I mean, that free kick he scored was possibly goal of the season, to be honest.
It was outrageous.
It's like so far out. And those things matter. And he's like 8 dribbles per 90. That showed a guy who takes a lot of responsibility, wants to go and get the ball again, despite being a young player here. So he deserves his place on the list. And I'd be nice to see a player that I don't think will happen, but see when you see them getting better in Scottish football like that, they come for one more year, and we see them sort of when they've developed and they're comfortable in their surroundings, but normally they end up, oh, they've done all right, they'll probably get a wee contract down south somewhere.
I don't know, I think often the lone players you get back for the second season are often rubbish.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true, yeah. Jay McLaren comes to mind.
Patrick Roberts didn't have a great second season at Celtic.
They were about to sign him recently. I saw that. That's one of the guys at GigPod. I saw it going on there. It started like last season. They were trying to bring in Patrick Roberts, and the club. He was going to try and bring him in this season, and Postecoglou turned it down.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like, what? Why? Why? Lazy.
People love nostalgia.
So
Hungbo. I've got him. Well, I'm going to say my number 9 now, because you've assumed wrong, Tony, my friend, and I'm going to shock you. My number 9 is Regan Charles Cook, and I have Hungbo a place above him, because I think Hungbo's better. I think he's a better all-round player. I think Regan Charles Cook has had a very good season overall, but he really, if we really want to... I mean, we have to remember that Regan Charles Cook was... I mean, he didn't look like much at all in English...
He'd run the ball at the pitch.
In low league football, in English low league football. Then he came to Ross County's first season. It was absolute rubbish. And then he was very good this season. Let's not take away from him. Very good this season. Got nominated for a Player of the Year award. I'd say at the time it was definitely deserved. But when you kind of just look at his season overall, even this campaign, it just really kind of screams to me, purple patch. Like just an absolute once-in-a-career purple patch.
Do you want to know the biggest stat behind purple patch? Goal conversion, 26%. So 1 in every 4 shots, he scores. That's fucking high.
I don't think that's going to keep up for the rest of his career.
But I think if a player, I've got him much higher, because I think season to season, Why can't... The guy's been fucking brilliant this season. He scored 13 goals for Ross County. His movement off the ball has been absolutely exceptional. He doesn't get himself... He can either go deep and drive with the ball, or a lot of the time when I've watched him at County, they actually use him to play on the shoulder, and he comes in and plays centrally sometimes. And he's been a revelation this season. I think when someone's a revelation, they probably deserve to be in the top half of this list, but... It's only season to season. And like you say, we can just say what we want in terms of what the criteria is for each position.
Yeah, so I talked about his purple patch. Okay, so it did start at the beginning of the campaign. Although, to be fair, he had two goals by the end of October, and then he scored twice in the 5-0 win at Dundee, and then he really went on a tear. But his last goal came in the 3-1 win over St Johnstone in mid-February, so he's not scored for 10 games. And 10 games in 3 months, so that's... It really is just screaming to me. This guy wasn't actually that good to begin with. Yeah. He was just like confidence flowing through him, just like scoring these goals. And I just do think as well, like I've been seeing him, the both of them in the last couple of weeks. I do think Humble is possibly. I actually think he is the better player.
Yes, I think he's
better running with the ball.
His touch is better.
Aye, and not as great as shooting this season. This is the thing that's really stood out for Regis Charles Cook, is just how good he has been at shooting this campaign.
Yeah, but and the variation.
Let's see if that can stick.
The variation of his finishing has been good as well. Like I've seen him when he's running one-on-one with the goalkeeper, he just goes high and he riffs it and stuff. I'm like, that's fucking... But again, that screams confidence. And I said before, it would be better for him to take a mid-step before going down south, but... If it really is a purple patch, get down there and make your money.
Make your money now before anybody else finds out, Regan.
But it'll be interesting to see.
Your secret's safe with me and the people who listen to this podcast.
Hibs, like, I mean, it was you, Joel, I think, were saying it as well. If he signs, I was all for it. Hibs, I'm signing for Hibs, Aberdeen, or Hearts or something. But the more and more and more you think about it, he'll be fucking rank.
It will be. It definitely will be. Even when we were first saying that, I was like, this is definitely going to go wrong if I sign him. Like, I've got a lot of high hopes of, like, Hartside, Conor Ronan or Dylan Levitt, but, I'm almost certain that if Hartside, Regan, Charles Cook, he'd be rubbish. Right, let's move on to your number eight.
Let's go for Christopher Cadden.
I have him higher.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should have him. I should have fun, but I've said it now.
He's probably a bit spurious to count him as a winger. It has to be said. He maybe should have gone. It's difficult when we had them because we had fullbacks and then we've got wingers.
And he was a wingback the entire season.
Yeah, he's not either. Really, is he? Yeah. He's not. I don't think he's good enough defensively to be an out and out fullback. And you also wouldn't call him. He's not like he doesn't play as advanced enough to be called a winger.
So he's actually. I think he is actually. A wing back.
Yeah.
I know there are these.
But we're doing another list.
No. Because these players are few and far between where they actually do fall at this. Because wing back, I'm happy to be corrected. Seems like it was invented in our lifetime as a position that you played. But three at the back wasn't that common when.
I think it went through a stage in the late 80s, mm-hmm. Or mid to late 80s, or maybe early 80s. I think Argentina, maybe one of the. Because that was a whole inverting the pyramid thing.
Yeah.
Was, I think, the Argentine.
See, I wanted to read that, and then I realised I'm not a fucking dick.
well, I read it. And I can be a dick.
Case closed. Because I wanted to.
It got very dry. I'm not going to lie. It got very dry at points, but it was overall quite a decent read.
Because I wanted to. And I liked my tactics and all that. You know what I do. But to the point where I'm starting to read it, I'm like, wow,
but
this is dry.
What I would say is that the invention of. The Chris Cadden style wing back is probably a bit more recent, mm-hmm. where you just have these absolute athletes on the wing, just covering two positions all game long.
And as stats, I'll not go to stats first. Although, like as a player, for Hibs, he's just one player of the year. He's been an absolute driving force. He's never let the team down at one point. He's even scored a few key goals, including a cross against Livingston. and he scored at Hampden, but he really took a lot of responsibility for Hibs this year in a campaign where it was really, really poor. And he never seemed to let everyone else... Because other players, Kevin Nisbet, Doidge, I'll just use them as an example, they seem to really drop off based on the whole team. Whereas Chris Cadden, it was like complete responsibility was on it to get the ball, never shucks it, works his socks off, gets up and down, and then his stats back up like wing back. It screams at like 70% dribbling, which I was really impressed with. 70% sort of dribbling. Obviously, 6.35 crosses per 90, which wasn't a shock at all. One of the highest in the league, I think, apart from Jota, because Cadden loves to cross.
Yes.
Whether it's good or not, that's up for debate. I haven't bothered checking what the percentage was because it wasn't going to make my point.
No, it's a good mark. I don't have the precise number to date, but he was in the top 10 for the winners, number 8.
And then you've got 60% of offensive duels won, 50% of aerial duels won, which I thought was quite interesting because obviously he's forced to. You'll get the balls that get kicked out from the goalkeeper that'll go into his side after win, and obviously defending a back post from time to time. Interceptions, 45% interceptions a game. So he's really rounded. The stats back that up as well as what most people would see with their eyes. And I'm delighted. I hope he stays at Hibs if Hibs revert to 4 at the back and Harry Clark stays and Cadden's in front of him, or 3 at the back, I think Cadden, his place is secure at Hibs now.
He loves a charge down the wing, and he really runs with a lot of power. When he gets motoring, you're kind of like, oh, like, what's this guy about to do? And his crossing's excellent as well, as we've said.
He's improved so much over the season because of how many times he's done it. He's practiced.
And he's also like a pretty good like defensive player as well, somebody who's good at interceptions. One thing I'd maybe say about Cadden, and maybe this is to do with the fact that he is in the wing-back role and it's a little bit harder because he didn't have as much freedom to kind of move inside. I think that other than his crossing ability, he doesn't really have any kind of other moves in which to set up teammates in or around the penalty box. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see him do any kind of tricky through balls or pick a pass that nobody else kind of sees.
He'll never make a pass as an underlap or something from a player coming in behind him. One thing he started to do is varied his crossing a bit more. I done this on when I was on the TV show, and I had to do him as my secret sauce, but I had to cover the bottle because he was in a Motherwell strip. true story. And then he always gets to before it was always byline, drilled across. But he did start to cross a bit more for deeper. You saw him, like, he would take the crosses early. He did start to mix that up. But, as you said, always a cross.
There was once in a show where Joel wasn't happy afterwards because he was talking about Junior Barras, and then it showed a clip of Jonathan Abika doing something. Oh, no. Oh, no. We've done an accidental racism there, haven't we?
Not again.
We're not as bad as SNS, to be fair. SNS captions, some of them are wild. Right, number 8, I had Hungbo. You had Cadden, so who's your number 7?
Scott Wright, I'm going to go for.
All right, I've got him higher.
Yeah, I could have him higher, but I'm now the Regan Charles Cook.
I know some players who've got higher than him, but I'm like,
Yeah, he's definitely not. And I'm a big Scott Wright fan, but there was part of me that was even thinking about not having Scott Wright in it. And if it wasn't for the sort of late surge, he probably wouldn't have made it for the simple reason that we were talking about earlier, that he's not playing an awful lot and he hasn't stood out in the games that he has played for Rangers. I was a big fan. I think I was one of the few people who thought that he could make something out of his time at Rangers when he'd done. I like watching Scott Wright play. Like, he takes care of the ball really well. He's got a great first touch.
His technique is outstanding.
Yeah, and very, very... He doesn't look like a Scottish player. I don't mean... not an old Scottish player. Yeah. Like, now we are getting these players much more and more now. But Scott Wright, he does seem to play in quite a European style. And in recent weeks, when they've needed him, he's really come forward. I mean, he got that goal against Motherwell, which was a big goal at the time. And obviously, they've got with 10 men, it was a really good finish. And then in the European games, he played in the away game. And he was okay, he wasn't great. But then in the home game against Leipzig, I think he set up Kamara's goal with a beautiful touch, which was very Scott Wright. I thought that was like very just subtlety to his game. And I like him a lot. But the only reason I've got him lower is because, again, he's not played that much. So I was trying to find a middle ground between having him in there but not having him too high. But he gets in the box a lot, and in terms of the cold tart stats, six goals, 2 assists, and his dribbling success is really good.
I've always really liked Scott Wright, ever since his debut season at Aberdeen, where he was kind of excellent for the first like 2 or 3 months and then kind of fell off a cliff. I think I still had him on my top 12 wingers of that season because I just was that big a fan of him, even though he really kind of barely kicked the ball for about 4 months. And then it really didn't kind of happen. He got worse at Aberdeen. He kind of went to loan spells. I remember seeing him at Dundee, and it was like, oh, he's really kind of not progressed at all. He's not doing anything other than running the ball and running at folk. But he's really, like, last season where he started off just kind of emerged in that 3-4-3, and I would say he's kept it up. He's not, what he's not done is gone up the level required. That's maybe a little bit unfair. He's gone up a level at Rangers, but he's not gone up the level required. He's not gone up the level to match these new teammates kind of thing. He's basically not become as good as Ryan Kent or Joe Rebo or somebody like that. And that's what you have to do when you go to Rangers. And some players do manage to do that, like Neil McCann famously go for Hearts to Rangers and went up or even another step in his career and was excellent. But you get a lot of guys who go and just can't quite do that. Scott Wright's kind of in between right now. I wouldn't be surprised either way what happens next season if he actually makes himself a proper Rangers first team regular and is a guy that can score like 10 goals and create a lot of stuff and be like, you know, a player of the year candidate or somebody who barely plays for them next season and ends up being the next Brandon Barker or something along those lines. But he is somebody who he can move the ball excellently, he's creative and he's a goal threat. And that's, I mean, he's... I mean, it looks like a short, sharp fart would blow him over, but in terms of his attacking abilities, he's got really everything you'd kind of want.
He's got a low center of gravity, though. I don't see him get really bullied and pushed off the ball too often. He's had a really topsy-turvy time this season at Rangers, where at times you really didn't think he was going to make it. And then, like I said, the later on, but that would be positive thing is, over the length of time, towards the end, he's been able to step up and he's been able to find that. So maybe it's just taken him the season to really accept who he is, get comfortable in his own skin at that team. And like you say, it's a huge season from next season because Van Bronckhorst, Van Bronckhorst obviously trusts him a bit. He's still choosing him over other options. He could do other things and he is going for Scott Wright. So he probably will get a good go at this next season, and I hope he does. Or is it like Ewan said, and you say he's destined to be a Hibs player, and for that, I'm more than happy for him to fail at Rangers and come to Hibs as well.
Right, my number of 7 is the man who thinks he's too good to immediately sign a pre-contract with Hearts and is leaving them waiting. It's Alan Forrest.
Good. Good, I'm glad to see you noising Hearts up. But I thought he'd be biting Hearts' hand off.
That's that. The fuck are you?
Because as I said earlier, this is a breakthrough season for Alan Forrest. Before, because I used to think of him as the most basic winger with like two attributes.
Yeah.
Like crossing, and he liked to get the
goals. You're saying last season was a breakout, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of had a rough start to this campaign, but he's really turned it on. He basically turned it on as soon as there was the threat to be sold to St Johnstone.
So he's really come on, and
nobody wants that.
Well, definitely not. I mean, they would definitely have stayed up if they went for Alan Forrest. So you understand it.
Yeah,
probably now that's exactly who they were lacking. They lost David Witherspoon. They've never really replaced him.
And he was like, "I don't know what." Play with that other collection of shite you've got going on there.
Yeah, and he really, really tore it up. And you're seeing, as I said, he seems to have put his whole game together, and also his work rates went much higher when I've watched him.
That shows in the stats as well. He's in both the top 10 for wingers in terms of defensive duels per 90 and defensive duels won. So he is, for a wide player, a very good defensive player. And that also goes along with the fact that he's great with running. He's tremendous. One of the better players on this list in terms of his running ability. Does it loads. Very good at it. He's also got a bit of creativity to him. And he's, most important of all, he's a real big goal threat.
Absolutely. Yeah. He'd like to be Arjen Robbins cutting inside and curling it in. He's also got 5 bookings this season, which interests me. I know, like, these things just stand out because they all latch up to that work rate. And it's Martindale's done it again. And Martindale strikes me as someone who wouldn't be precious about why a player's able to lift their game. Like, he won't think, oh, a prick wants to leave Livingston, he's only doing it now. He'll just harness it and use it.
The only guy who's really fallen out with was Scott Robinson, and that must have been something.
Yeah.
There must be something personal going on there.
I think so, yeah, because he's not bothered about him with that. And I think Martindale, in his heart of hearts, knows that Livingston, he'll be dealing with this pretty much every season if he's doing well, and he's got players that are performing well. And then again, 7 goals and 4 assists is really, really good to be involved in 11 goals, especially when, as I said, the season didn't really start till St Johnstone knocked on the door. but he dribbles constantly, he's carrying it. So, yeah, I mean, this season he's turned into sort of like the archetype perfect Scottish Premiership winger, really.
Right, so he's my number seven. Who's your number six?
Number six. Let's go for... Well, I had Alan Forrest.
Okay, well, I had Chris Cadden. So who's your number five?
Regan Charles Cook.
There we go. A lot higher than I had him.
I think we've... Fairly, we've got found the middle ground for him. Exactly what it should be, really.
Aye, so I went. You went five, I went nine, so it's probably about seven.
Probably is
seems about right. Right, my number five was Scott Wright, so we move on to your number four.
Billy McKay?
Billy McKay. He's my number four as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my jokes about Billy McKay. But it's the strikers list of 2014. But yeah, I mean, Barry McKay.
Shot assist king.
Yeah, and that is good. And I noticed that, like, it is important. I mean, he is constantly creating chances. A few other guys on this list that also have big shot assists. I think Hungbo was another one that was really good for that, McMullen. But yeah, he's been huge. It's because other players' Hearts round the pitch have performed. And probably the best thing about Hearts is how much they have a goal threat and attacking threat from all over the pitch. But I feel like McKay's had to shoulder a lot in the attacking sense, especially before Ginelli came. Sims came.
Yeah.
Because no one else is really stepping up. Gary McKay-Steven, not really.
No.
Ben Woodburn,
no.
Not really.
Aaron McAriff, no.
So these guys just aren't Ginelli, not doing it. So it's like McKay had to be a hit as a sign-in, which is quite a pressurized position to be in, especially for Barry McKay, who's had a bit of an up and down career. His ability's never been in question. He's such an easy player on the eye, even like the way the hair bobs and stuff, it screams reverse pass merchant, like Scott Allen. It does. It's like they have to have
he's got a short haircut now.
But you have to have a certain look.
He used to bring it back.
They have to have a certain look. Kind of guys that are going to play side rules with the outside of their foot or reverse through balls. But McKay's also big into his crossing. I just feel he's had to shoulder a huge amount of responsibility in a creative sense up top for Hearts, and he's pulled it off. His assists are, he's just under Jota in terms of like the most, I think he's got 12 or 13. Brilliant.
He's somebody, like, if we're going to go with anything negative about Barry McKay, there's probably three things to cover. One, he probably should run with the ball a bit more than he does, because he's actually quite good at it when he does do it. He should score more often than he does. He does miss a few chances, and also as well maybe doesn't get in opportunities as much to score as much as his talents would allow him to. If he does get into right areas. And number three, not the best of defensive players compared to some of the other guys. That's not like he's a big liability either, but he's obviously quite slight as well, and that's, I think, a big reason why he failed in the English Championship. There were times where, I mean, you saw
the Cloggers League.
You saw like Forest fans arguing about him and saying, like, someone saying, he was brilliant at times, and I was like, but then he was like rubbish when went missing for a lot of it. And it's like, that's a league where strength and fitness really are your kind of main two attributes.
Absolutely.
Really. Unless you are a EPL level talent, then it really is the guys, like, you see, like, Uche Ekpeazu and Loic Demoor had good seasons in the Championship. Like, that's wild to any Hearts fan, because, like, they shouldn't be playing at that standard because they don't have the technique to do it up here. Barry McKay obviously just plays and suits playing in Scottish football much more. But what he does have is two things that marry together very, very well for any attacking player. He has exceptional vision and he has exceptional passing ability.
A variation in the passing as well. It isn't all just the one thing we were talking earlier about Cadden, how it's always the same thing. Whereas McKay, it can be crossing. He's crossing, actually. I checked that out because I was quite interested.
Well, I've got it here. He's in the top three for all these. Sorry, he's in the top two for all these stats. He's number two for expected assists per 90, crossing accuracy and key passes. And he's number one for smart passes, accurate passes to the penalty area percentage, and progressive passes.
Well, there you go. That's all about creativity. That's basically the whole globe of creativity. And he's got all... Now, see, like, the only thing where he's balancing out is the goals.
Yeah.
He should have scored more goals. Even not something that I'm hugely fond of, but the XG is 5.3 and he's only scored 2.
Yeah.
So that's the only sort of side. And if he can get even up to 7 goals, another 5. And if he's kicking about 7 goals and 13 assists next thing, if you're involved in 20 goals, you're a very big attacking threat.
I think he is capable of it as well. I think the longer it went on with him getting a goal after first joining, that might have played on his mind a bit. And also as well, if you look at kind of his stats at other teams, he usually, like, he didn't play as quite as often as he did at Hearts, and he still got 3 or 4 goals. So if you imagine he plays every game for Hearts, he should be looking at about 6 or 7.
That goal he did score was fucking ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I imagine he might do it next season. Okay, so now we're into the top three. Now, we've definitely got the same three here, but it's just, and I think we've got the same number one, but it's just about the order of 2 and 3, which I think is the interesting part. So, who is your number three?
That's Ryan Kent.
Oh, I have him at 2, but I'm really not fully content with this pick.
I mean, Abada's numbers just cannot be.
Yeah, but it's just that Ryan Kent is a winger and a big player in Europe on a team that's going to be in the Europa League final. And that's kind of where, that's what pushed me ahead of Abada for me. And also as well, I think Abada's definitely, undoubtedly had a better season in Scottish football than Ryan Kent has.
And even though the European games...
But for me, Ryan Kent's got he's been great for more seasons than Abada. Abada's his debut season, so it's a bigger sample size to say he's a very good player. And so that's, and yeah, so, but I said, I'm not that happy about it, so I'd, you know, if you can possibly convince me the other way, I might do it, but I think I'm fine.
Well, Kent, I think, because Ryan Kent, as you can see by what I try to do, is I do try to get wood season by season when I do these, and I do try to like keep it, like I do pay respects to what you've done this season, and I think when a guy's banging in 15 goals and 10 assists, like Abada is at like what 21 year old, it's pretty chock-a-block. That's wildly incredible. Kent, in Scottish football terms, see, if he'd had a good season, I would have had him second, coupled with the European season. He's not been that good in the Scottish top flight. He's he's got 3 goals, maybe only 2 goals in the league. That's not really good enough for a guy who you'd think of as certainly one of the most talented players in the league, and he's a guy I rate. And the European ones as well, it's only really when the knockout started that Kent started going wild. Mm-hmm. And like don't get me wrong, the Dortmund performance in terms of level of opposition, what's at stake, and what Kent done, you're talking like one of the best sort of performances from an attacking player by any Scottish football player.
Yeah.
In years, he was absolutely superb. Like, you're going back to like when sort of Celtic were, when Larsson and Hartson and all that, when you're thinking about an attacking player who was having Larsson, like, really was like causing every team absolute bother. And Kent was a thorn in their side, but I can't ignore the 38 games where he's really not done it in the Scottish top flight. That's basically where I came to with that.
Yeah, but that's fair. But I still think he's got pretty much... His goal record, I think, this year is something that's really stood out. It's been quite a disappointment as well, because you're kind of waiting on the campaign where Kent scores like at least a dozen goals in like a league season, and it's not happened yet, and it certainly didn't happen this year. But he is still somebody that shoots the ball very well. He's very creative in the final third. His crossing's very good. He's good at running with the ball. He's good at advancing the ball. There's not an awful lot to really kind of dislike about Ryan Kent. And yeah, I've just got him higher than Abada because of his overall collection of work in Scottish football. Is rating a bit higher for me. But Abada, let's get to him now, because I'm going to assume he's our number two for both.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah. It's just what I love about him is his off the ball is just as good as he's on the ball. And normally that's something that maybe take a bit of time. Mm-hmm. For such a young player, and for him to be, and I mean, this is credit to Postecoglou, especially, I'm assuming, with the constant coaching, his ability to sniff out a chance when the ball's at their side, he's never switching off, and you know, you can ask Borna Barisic how annoying it is, and Abada's just like so good to get himself to be that, to post those numbers and be so aggressive in his movement to put him into like a centre forward berth. Really regularly at that back post, you wonder as he gets more and more experienced, and these things that would normally, these attributes that come normally with experience, but where the ceiling would be for a guy like that, because he doesn't play like a sort of young player whatsoever.
No, he certainly doesn't. It actually blows my mind that he was 19 when he first joined Celtic as well. He's just, yeah, as you say, that archetypal inside forward that you get these days that kind of plays in the wing but acts as a forward and just kind of smashes those diagonal runs into the box and causes mayhem all the time. That's just what he's so good at in terms of getting into the box so often and making things happen. But also, somebody as well that, again, kind of just as everything else we've talked about, like he's in the top five for expected assists for all these wingers. He's in the top five for shots. He's in just outside the top five for dribbling success. He's, yeah, like key passes in the top five as well. He's, again, just very, very good.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, these and Kent, as I say, Kent's fucking brilliant. I played I'm splitting hairs here, and Kent's absolute brilliant. But these are the players that are actually starting to make me worry. That, like, how long are we not? And especially if they're both getting into the Champions League, which is a stark possibility next season. How far away are we till Celtic and Rangers lose to no one apart from each other in a whole season?
Yeah,
not far away.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the guy, like, you're talking about Kent, Abada, and Jota. These guys are miles ahead of the players they even had like 5-6 years ago.
It'll be fine. There's only one disaster. There'll be a disaster coming soon, and they'll
someone has to do it. Aye, someone has to do something. But the problem is that even if Rangers are being mismanaged, which I don't know, I'm not claiming they are, but even if they are, their European exploits are going to hide it all because the money's just going to keep pouring in.
Yeah, well, especially if they win tomorrow.
So, I mean, and then and Jota, just a number one, obviously, for both of us. Wow.
Yeah.
He's a fucking player, man.
not the best of defenders, though. But who cares? Seriously, who cares when you're as good as him? His crossing ability. Like, he crosses so much and he's so good at it as well, but he's not just like... So we've had wingers like this in the past in Scottish football who are just all about kind of whipping the ball in. If you think of like Johnny Hayes at his peak at Aberdeen, he would whip the ball in non-stop. I think one season he was like up there in terms of crossing percentage and was number one or number two for how many crosses he actually attempted in the entire league. But obviously with Johnny Hayes, you're not getting the kind of goals. So you often get guys like that. Jota scores loads of times, sets up loads of goals from just kind of normal, regular play with kind of through balls and you know, key passes and stuff like that, and also whips in a tremendous ball and can beat any man going as well. He's attempted the most dribbles in terms of trying to beat a defender in the entire league and is very good at it as well. So
he's absolutely electric.
Yeah. And like, is he the best player in the league?
I think yes. Purely talent.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'll have ups and downs. And sort of Kyogo would probably be the other one, and I'm sure Rangers fans would moan and moan at me, even though I always think Rangers is, they're a bit of a machine, and also Rangers have spent a lot of time together. They've got a group of players, and that's what shown in Europe, because it's got better and better and better every season. They've kept a core team together, which is brilliant, rather than having, obviously Kent is one of those individuals and Morelos is one of those individuals, but pure talent. Like, I mean, Jota looks like just players you just don't see here. Like, they come to Scottish football. Like, Kent's the only one. Him and Kent are the only players that I know in Scottish football that can do that thing, you know, when they just completely stop dead and then can accelerate away from a player from a standing start. And those players are few and far between around the world. I mean, you're normally on Kent in every league. The ones who can do that specific skill, which is the hardest thing to defend in the world, because if someone stops, you have to stop. You're a defender. And if they're able to just boost ahead of you and accelerate quickly, it becomes impossible to stop. That's always like, that's the attribute that always stands out for me when I'm watching the best, when I'm watching the Champions League and the knockouts and players that are able to do that. And there's only a few of them. Kent and Jota can actually do that as well. But Jota, he's also got that running style where his legs, he's tall. Mm-hmm. As well, so like he's got big strides as well as being quick. So I'm not saying when I'm doing it, but like Cristiano Ronaldo, like again, Portuguese, in that he's big, he's got all the physicals, but he still has the faint feet. So like when you combine that, it just becomes so hard to fucking stop. And he was doing the one, I think at the weekend there, I was watching the highlights, pished, I'll be honest. And then
I knew that from your WhatsApp messages. But do you want me to read out some of them?
Oh, Christ. Jesus.
Hang on, it was just the fact that you said, it was one of them you said, let me get to it. It was one of them where literally all you wrote to me was 61 points. And I knew exactly what you meant. I knew you meant that Hearts had finished third by a mile, only 61 points. It was just that was all you said. 61 points.
Less than what fucking Ipswich.
Here we go. There we go. Right. 12, 1243 in all caps. Blair, 1243, just normal writing. Spittle, 1245. Nikki Clark Goal. Clark is spelt wrong. 1245, brilliant. 1245, as good as it gets. 1249. 61 points.
just be sports scene. Basically, just each scene of sports scene, I'm just pissed back to you.
1249, my gosh. 1202 a.m. Wingers, two sweat laughing emojis. 102 a.m., it's extremely simple. 103 a.m., Jota is the best winger by a mile. That's not even up for discussion.
And then I went to bed.
Yeah.
Then literally right after that, I remember because Mandy, I've got a message from Andy saying, go to bed. Because I went to the pub with Duncan after the Hibs game and had a few bites and I came back at about 10:30 or something. I had something to eat and I was like, oh, I sat there, all the sports are on. I was like, I had still a wee bit of pissed. And I was like, okay, what other San Miguel? And I'm just watching, end up watching sports scene of match day. It's the only time I ever watch match a day is if I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I never go and watch, just like, oh, I'll put on the night away, funny. But yeah, and like Jota was like, he was just knocking the ball past people and running around them, and it looked like he meant to pass it, but the guy was offside, so he left it. Jota's just quick enough to even by mistake get around the outside and then go and catch it the other side. He's pretty good in the air, Jota, for his size. And again, just like when we were talking about a few other, I can't remember who it was. You said maybe one of the other ones. He's here for a good time, not a long time.
Time,
and that's certainly Jota. If he's, I bet you might be gone now. Actually,
I think the Celtic. No, I don't
they've
know.
They've got an agreement. They can buy him for $6.5 million, but he has to do it.
Okay, right.
Like that's how the people forget when these the
well,
fees.
You say that, but when Hearts signed Skatchel in 2006, after he did his one season, and he wanted to leave, Hearts were just able to sign him because I think he'd already agreed to the terms.
The club,
right?
And the club were starting to want to offer him a new contract as well because he's been so impressive there, and who knows what he's going to do? I mean, they'll be breaking the bank to get him in because you will make your money back.
My old mate Muffin from Ibiza, he put it on Twitter yesterday, and he got loads of likes for it saying, oh, I found Jota in Ibiza, because he works in Ibiza like full time. And he said, asked him, what's happening? It's up the contract. Him and Carter Vickers both said, summer's a long time.
That's not a good thing to hear.
No.
Because I saw that they were on a plane and there was loads of Rangers fans.
Aye.
That was good.
Starfelt as
really
well.
Think about things.
He said Starfelt was a lovely man.
I'm sure. Still plays like he's wearing jeans sometimes.
Right, that'll do us. Thank you very much to everybody for listening. Thank you to Tony for joining me.
Anytime.
And we will be back later this week with, hopefully we should be able to do with Tony and Tom, a preview of the Scottish Cup final and a review of Rangers Europa League final against Eintracht Frankfurt. So make sure to tune into that. And if you'd like to hear even more than that, then you can head over to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/terracepodcast. The latest £2 podcast to go up was from Ali Heller and Sean Dillon, talking for 40 minutes about Dundee United season. So if you're a Dundee United fan, definitely get involved in that. Like I said, that's only on the £2 tier, but there's lots of other good stuff going out on the £4 tier. £4 tier? It's £5. What am I getting the words wrong? Including myself and Craig Anderson, which I'm going to go home immediately after this and record it, doing our yearly, what we call Y Scout rankings, ranking the teams from 12 to 1 in terms of how entertaining they were to watch over the course of the season.
Ooh. That's going to be tough this year.
Yeah, aye, lots, basically, aye, shite. But there's some that I've got like quite high. Like, I've got Dundee quite high because they were a laugh.
Oh, right, okay, aye. You're going to have to be fast and loose with what you mean by entertaining, aye.
But they were still entertaining.
Yeah.
They don't have to be good to be entertaining. Dundee are always entertaining.
Yeah, they are.
Right, thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Social Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.